Welcome to the Idea Talks, where we discuss big ideas. The Idea Talks is a bi-weekly podcast with Josh Tice and other leaders on big ideas for life, leadership, and ministry. And I'm your co-host, Drew Polinencia, and we are glad you're here. For more information on this podcast, visit ideanetwork.church. If you're trying to seek out one of these coaches, they have all the best intentions for you. And if you out-succeed them in whatever they did, it's okay.
Yeah, my son, Jonathan, just surpassed me in height. And he was so proud of it. The girls were like, oh, he's taller than dad. And the reality is, I looked at him, I said, don't get cocky, kid. I'm glad you're taller than, thank God. I said, and every success you have the rest of your life is my success because I built it in you. And that's the way a coach thinks. That's the way a mentor ought to think. The big idea for this episode is mentorship, taking your leadership to the next level. If you feel like you can go to the next level without somebody grabbing you by the hand and leading you there, you might be sadly mistaken. You need coaching. You need mentoring. And we're going to tell you how to get it.
Today's podcast topic is mentorship. This is a topic close to the heart of the Idea Network. So close that we have begun developing a mentorship platform to reach ministry leaders across the world. 30 mentors and mentees joined us for our beta round in November. The mentorship platform officially launches in March 2020. More details will be announced at Idea Day West 2020 in January. Welcome to this edition of the Idea Talks, and today we have an exciting episode planned, don't we?
Yeah, I'm glad you actually pressed play.
Me too.
This time.
Could, yeah.
We started, what, a whole like 3 minutes ago, and we're just talking. Yeah. I guess it's not time wasted because, hey, we're friends anyway.
It's practicing, right?
It's practicing. We got to make it happen.
So in your life, when you're going from one level of success or progression, do you notice that's as a result of just your own efforts or is it somebody like speaking into and mentoring you?
Yeah, you were the one who brought this to my attention. And I think it's such a brilliant concept that when God is ready to really take you from one level to the next,
sure,
he's going to bring somebody into your life to help lead you into that next level. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's going to be through a long distance coach, like a book, maybe it's a podcast, maybe it's whatever it might be. Maybe it's somebody in your life. But God's going to bring somebody into your life, grab you by the hand and say, we're going to the next level.
Yeah.
You've seen that true in your life.
Oh, yeah. And I think about the position I vacate right now in my company, like the guy I credit that success to came into my life, wasn't a smooth start, like came in and kind of shook things up a little bit,
really?
Made me uncomfortable.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And as a result of that uncomfortability, there was growth. And now I am where I'm at. I think about even, one of the biggest things that's happened in my life is marrying my wife now of 11 years. And it was my parents coming to my life and saying like, are you sure there's nobody here really for you? And 2 weeks later, I met my wife. It was out of that moment of questioning my reality, what my supposed paradigm was, getting shooken up a little bit and then going to the next level. I think that's really where mentors and coaches really help us and hopefully can help other people.
I'm 100% with you. I can remember getting to college it was all my dad. And then when I was in college, there was a homiletics professor that was really influential. His name was Greg Mutch. And that really helped me. He didn't know. He was just a teacher. We didn't have a personal relationship or anything. But it solidified my call to preach. And then I came out my first couple of years of ministry. I followed so much, read a lot of stuff from a pastor in California named Paul Chappell. Incredible from a distance, really helped me. And then I think it was the second or third year of the church. I can point to it specifically. I remember getting Rick Warren's book, Purpose Driven Church, mm-hmm. and it just totally blew my mind and just advanced our church to the next level. But that's been the case all along the way. I remember getting the book Grace Awakening by Swindoll, mm-hmm. and my spiritual life, it really took a next level step like you would not believe. And even now, about a year ago, about 9 months ago, I started coaching with a coach actually in our church that has started doing life coaching with me. And man, that's been such a huge help. But I agree, before you hit that next big stride, mm-hmm. sometimes God brings that right person into your life to say, hey, here's where we're going. Here's how we're going to get there.
Yeah, I mean, even I've heard you talk about the book of Galatians and like Paul for that is a vital turning point for you in your ministry.
Yeah, I can't even remember what year it was. Maybe it was 2010, but I remember preaching through the book of Galatians, and Paul was my my mentor through the power of the Holy Spirit. Just said, okay, here's where we're going, and that's what a mentor has to be. A lot of times, he has to be blunt. Oh, foolish Joshua, who hath bewitched you to have begun in the grace of God to be able to continue in your own flesh. And I remember preaching verse by verse through that book, and it really was like Paul was taking Timothy to that next level.
Now, we've mentioned these like different kind of pockets, so to speak, of our own, out of our own life experience, and we've shared some examples with you. So let's kind of define these different levels of mentorship. So the first type of mentorship we're talking about is very traditional mentorship.
Right.
Formal. You gave an example of your dad.
Right. So traditional mentorship would be that idea of like a one-on-one long-term relationship where we're meeting on a semi-regular basis. That would be like I was with my father. We still probably sit down at least quarterly, go to breakfast, and he just talks, and mm-hmm. I just listen, and I ask questions. And it's a huge, incredible gift to have that kind of a relationship. It's the same kind of relationship that I've developed on the other end with men like Akeem Smith. And men like Blake Hunt, who mm-hmm. are in our church currently, and having that opportunity where my wife has done exactly the same thing. It's not just me to men, but it's my wife to women. With Jamie, she's done that quite a bit, and mm-hmm. With other women throughout her life. And what is that? That's a traditional mentorship where it's structured, it's focused, it's anything goes, and there's a deep personal relationship, one-on-one, eyeball-to-eyeball, and talking a lot about life and leadership.
It's intimate. You can be vulnerable to ask questions. You meet frequently, maybe.
There's what?
You meet frequently, maybe.
Yeah, frequently. And it may not be every week. It sometimes, like with my father, the last 10 years has probably been more like quarterly than it is even monthly. But there's a depth of relationship. There's also an unconditional love with that. It's really interesting. It doesn't matter where you go or what you do, I'm going to be supportive and loving of you, which is incredibly comforting. Mm-hmm. And I think that's important for a mentorship relationship to really work.
I think early on in my wife and I's marriage, we had a couple. This is when we were living in Phoenix, where we literally just went over there every single opportunity we had to play cards at night.
Like, yeah.
They had two kids, they had school and that kind of stuff. They had jobs. We did too, but like we tried to usher ourselves into their lives as much as possible. And like, thus they mentored us, you know?
Yeah.
So this is a traditional, like you're looking across the table, you're sharing a meal together. Like that's what we're talking about here.
Absolutely. And I love in that story that you kind of insinuate that you guys kind of pushed yourself into that.
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't something like there was a formal sit down and here's an invitation engraved and we want to. This is how mentorships often take place.
Yeah.
I mean, I saw that with Blake, part of our church team, and he specifically asked several times, hey, I really want to have one-on-one time with you. When can we sit down? And it's like, oh, yeah, eventually. Yeah, eventually. Yeah, eventually.
Yep.
And now it's in where it's every other week. We're sitting down for an hour and 15 minutes, and we're going through issues.
We'll get into, like, action steps or next steps here, but, like, do you have any advice for that person? So, like, maybe they're a little immature. Maybe they're the squeaky wheel, so to speak, but they're trying to get advice from that person they look up to or aspire to be like. Do you have any advice for them?
Yeah, I would definitely say don't give up. Number one, if there's somebody that you want to be that type of traditional mentor, we're talking about traditional mentors. If you have somebody like that in your life, then pursue them. And be not irritating, but be a blessing. Mm-hmm. And if you're a blessing to them over and over and over and over, so figure out how, pray about it. How can I be a blessing to this person? What can I do for this person? I will say, if practically, how do you be a blessing? Anytime I've ever gone out to breakfast with my father, I never let him pay. Mm-hmm. He's the mentor. Why would I make him pay? Let me do whatever I can to, and that's just an illustration of how you can pursue that person. So don't give up, be a blessing to them. And also ask bluntly, I'd love to have more time with you. I'd love you to speak into my life. And then be very cautious of their time. Mm-hmm. A lot of times as a mentee, we can become extremely self-focused. It's all about me. And you have to realize that person also has a life. You need to be very conscientious of their time.
I have a problem the opposite end of that, like where I feel like I'm always taking up too much of their time, where I've seldom go into conversations deep enough because I'm like, oh, they probably need to go. Like I'm an inconvenience. Like I'll just get out of here.
Right.
So I got to guard myself against that. But like, yeah, no, like this person's giving me their time. I need to be able to, you know, share that and reciprocate it back.
And that's a good way to look at it, because if you're not being vulnerable, then it's more wasting their time than if you're just having a surface level conversation.
Yeah.
So I think that's a great point.
So traditional mentors, the next one is long distance mentors.
Yeah, so a long distance mentor would be the type of person who has incredibly influenced you, but they don't really know you. Mm-hmm. And that's okay. You know them far more than they know you. This is true through books and podcasts and preaching, right? So like the preaching of John MacArthur has incredibly influenced my life. The ministry style of Rick Warren has incredibly ministered my life. I've had the opportunity of getting to know, like I said, that pastor in California, his name is Paul Chappell, multiple times, but that's more been a long distance mentorship early on in my ministry career. But that's long distance, right? Mm-hmm. It's not somebody that I see all the time. It's not somebody like a Dave Tice, mm-hmm. In my life. But those are really valid. And you can lean into those. Like I've said, Chuck Swindoll has been an incredible long-distance mentor. He'll never know my name, mm-hmm. Not till we get to heaven. And I interrupt him at the banquet. I'll be like, hey, Chuck.
Sure.
Chuck. And that's a great thing. And I think you can do that, develop those relationships in your life.
Yeah. I think the thing I'd speak into here is do your research. So if you ever get a chance to meet one of these people and you ask them a question they've already wrote 3 books on and, you know, had a TV show episode, you know, dedicated and whatever, that seems a little bit immature. The concept here is be a good steward of that long distance relationship and eat up as much as you possibly can. I think about people that have an opportunity to platform a moment to speak to whoever it is, right? A great, you know, leader or CEO of our time. And they ask him a rhetorical question that they've asked and answered many times, but yeah, because you have that moment with him, you think it's elite in that status. So just do your research, you know, don't waste their time again, and try to make sure that you actually have valuable information to give them at the time.
I think it's a brilliant point. I've been told, or I've read this idea that if you meet somebody who is really, really well known, treat them like they're and everybody. Mm-hmm. And if you see an everybody, treat them as if they're really, really well known.
Yeah.
And then you'll be loved by all. Yeah, that's an interesting point. I had a long distance mentor, if you want to call it that, in Tom Rainer, mm-hmm. for years. I just loved his information and God allowed me to have the opportunity of getting to know him. And it would be odd if I treated him the way I felt about him even 5 years ago. He wants a relationship, right? So I think that that's a great practical statement to make, that mm-hmm. God may bring those people into your life who are long-distance mentors, and to develop a different type of relationship with them, a different type of mentorship with them going forward.
That's good. So traditional mentorship, long-distance mentors, and then there's also now this rise of modern coaching. Like, talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, the rise of modern coaching began, I think, in the business world, but really has made its way into the church world. So I'm really interested from your perspective,
sure.
What have you seen in the corporate world and in the business world, in the secular world, of how the rise of modern coaching has influenced business today?
It's interesting to try to uncover the people who are really the heroes in the stories, because most of the time the CEOs that make the most money or lead the movements actually get the spotlight. Now, there's a saying about, you know, long lays the head of the crown or something like
heavy
that.
Heavy lays the head of the crown.
Yeah, heavy lays the head of the crown, right? So like until you're actually under the weight of that burden and you have the title, cool, like you're a coach to the CEO, but like there's a weight to that. So don't grasp that. But there's a recent coach in the tech world that has always been traced all these CEO success, but like he's never been able to publish a book because the people who ask him, he won't deliver. Because the idea is like he doesn't want the spotlight shined on him. He wants the spotlight shined on the people that is the product of his coaching. And I think that takes a lot of humility. I think that takes a lot of knowing what you're great at. Because you might be a great coach, but you might not be the best public speaker or spotlight thing, you know. But you can speak into somebody's life in a moment of need. And I think that's a really, you know, a testament to somebody who's a great coach. It's like they don't want the spotlight. They want to put the spotlight back on the team who did the work.
That's a great statement.
And, you know, to me, that's where it's at.
Yeah, the rise of modern coaching, it's interesting what's happening within ministerial life, because I keep coming across pastors who have coaches. This is different, right? This is different than a ministerial mentor who's going to come in and talk about my spiritual life and what's going on with my relationship with Heather. And like I said a moment ago, about 9 months ago, I started a relationship with a coach who is a member of our church. He's an incredible man. His name is Dr. Mike Smith, mm-hmm. and he has his earned PhD in something or other. But he was 20 years Air Force. He was the first sergeant of the Thunderbirds, mm-hmm. if you're familiar with the Thunderbirds. He worked 10 years in Berkshire Hathaway and now is a public speaker and that kind of thing. Anyway, he started coaching me, and man, he revealed to me some things about how the way the world works, but also how my mind worked and my failures as a leader and things that I need to focus on, and that really, truly helped me. And then I began to ask a few other friends and realize there's a lot of guys in my scenario that are really seeking some professional help in regards to not necessarily therapy, mm-hmm. or psychotherapy, which is fine as well if that's what you need, but also in the realm of just coaching, life coaching. Okay, where do you go to lead at another level? How do you find the answers that you're really looking for? And that has been something that has been huge for me, and I know a lot of others that are kind of stepping into that.
Yeah. I think about this too. It's a kind of a challenge, but I would say also just perspective. If you're trying to seek out one of these coaches, they have all the best intentions for you. And if you out-succeed them in whatever they did, it's okay.
Mm, yes.
And I think that might be a problem right now in society, is the fact that you coach people up to an extent, but if they start to pass you, you have to swallow that pill.
Yeah.
Because eventually, you know, but in the perspective, the grand scheme perspective is like, so what? Like, that's a litmus test of your coaching. So like, if they actually succeed, don't you want that for your kids? Don't you want that for anybody?
Yeah. My son, Jonathan, just surpassed me in height.
Yeah.
And he was so proud of it. The girls were like, oh, he's taller than dad. And the reality is, I looked at him, I said, don't get cocky, kid. I'm like Han Solo. Don't get cocky, kid. I'm glad you're taller than, thank God. I said, and every success you have the rest of your life is my success because I built it in you. And that's the way a coach thinks. That's the way a mentor ought think. And the vast majority of the ones that I've had the privilege of being in contact with do feel precisely that way. Yeah. But you're right. We live in a broken society that wants you to succeed right up to where I succeeded and then fail right where I began to fail.
Right. So at the end of the day, you get the spotlight. Moving on. The personal cabinet. We've talked about this a lot.
Yeah.
But the idea is that you have people around you that are trustworthy and have proven track record of success in your life that you allow to have a vulnerability to speak into your life.
Precisely.
And I think all of us need that. I think it does take that level of vulnerability and trust, but it's worth it because you're allowing them to mentor you and you're allowing them to speak into your life and hopefully take you to the next level.
Yeah, for those who have missed those episodes, go back and check them out. When we talk about the personal cabinet, it's like a president sits down and says, "Okay, I have a czar of communications. I've got a cabinet member in charge of housing." All of those things are incredibly important to him, and he goes to specific people for specific answers. And so it ought be in your life. You're developing mentors, coaches, and friends that you go to specifically about specific things. So this is my person I talk to about finances. This is the person I talk to about family issues. Here's the person I talk to about preaching. Here's the person that I talk to about my relationship with my wife. And having that in your life is huge. And if you don't continue to develop that relationship, like any relationship, those things begin to grow stale. If you don't structure time to develop that and ask those questions, then eventually they're not going
to
be there.
The last thing we have to mention is really an opportunity for everyone that's listening to have an opportunity to get mentored.
Yeah. Our thoughts have been, we've been talking about mentorship and coaching for quite a while, but our concern at Idea Network, Drew's and I, as well as Josh Ermler and Kylie Suttle and my wife, Heather, and Fred Murray, all those that are connected with Idea Network, the more I talk to a lot of the leadership within the network, there's this sense of, okay, yeah, but how are we going to provide mentorship and coaching for the hundreds and hundreds of ministry leaders that are coming up around us that are connected to many great networks, but also connected to the ID network? And is there a way possible that we can actually provide something? And so about a year ago, we began to really dream of what this might look like. and what could this be for 2020? So in March 1st of 2020, we're officially launching the IDEA Network Mentoring Program.
It's a big deal.
Yeah, it's a pretty big deal. We're excited about it. I was expecting applause, but it didn't come. Maybe you could add that
I'll put it in afterwards.
Okay. So let me briefly outline. Some of you that aren't aware, you can go onto our blog or my blog, joshtice.com, and you can actually find out, see a little bit of this written out. But in short, the IDEA Network Mentoring Program kind of falls in three different phases. The first phase is what we call hourly online coaching or mm-hmm. hourly online mentoring. Okay, this is what you got to do. You've got to picture kind of like a dating app. Now, I've described this many times to a lot of my friends. I've never actually seen a dating app, but this is what I assume it looks like.
This is what you assume Tinder and everything else looks like.
Right. Yeah. I assume the way it looks is there's a profile and you can swipe. I know about swiping. And you swipe and you can see the next profile and you can see the next profile and the next profile. And so picture that. But instead, there's a pastor on there or a ministry leader of some kind. An evangelist, a missionary, somebody long-term in ministry that you can look up to and get answers from. It's got their picture. It's got their stats, like a baseball card. It's like, this is what they're interested in. This is their passions. This is what they do. This is how long they've done it. Mm-hmm. There's a little button that says book now. And if you click on that button that says book now, mm-hmm. that button will allow you to actually book this individual for a one-hour online mentoring session. So you book that, you click that button, and all of a sudden you're sent to a page that is an email. That email gets sent off to the mentor. Mm-hmm. You get a copy of that email in your inbox, and they have 24 to 48 hours to contact you back to schedule in the next 7 days a one-hour coaching session with you. It also, that email will express to you from them what exactly they are expecting out of this mentor moment, mm-hmm. and you can express what you're looking for. So they can say, okay, for example, my profile says my expectations are honesty, authenticity, real questions, but I expect that you come to the program or to our hour with a notepad, a pen, and a list of 5 questions that you have specifically ready to ask me about whatever it is that you want to talk about. And that sets up a one-hour session where we have an opportunity of really talking through. So it's very exciting. We're launching that on March 1st with 30 different mentors, 20 men, 10 women. And we believe that women in ministry, pastors' wives, evangelist wives, missionary wives, and women in ministry like Kylie Suttle are needing mentors as well. And so we have that all set up. So it's a very exciting program that we've got launching March 1st.
Now talk to me a little bit. I'm sure like some listeners have some questions about like, how did you select these mentors, like these 20 men and 10 women? Like what was the process? What can they expect? Who are they? That kind of thing.
Yeah, that's a great question. Primarily, if you're already connected to the IDEA Network, you're going to recognize most of these names. A lot of these folks are people that have been coaches or trainers at our events. They've been at many, many IDEA days. They've been at many the past IDEA nights, and they've just been highly connected with us. They're also individuals who have many years of experience in a specific area. Mm-hmm. For example, like my father, 42 years in ministry, or like men like Jeremy Ranz, or men like Robbie Green or Tommy Thompson, Randy Justice. These are guys that have been in ministry for decades now, doing an incredible work for God. And you have the opportunity of sitting down and really talking with these guys. But they're not just individuals who have been in ministry for decades. They're also people that have been focused on specific ministry mm-hmm. for years, which actually many times can make a better coach. Let me give you an example. If you're a church planter, you might be interested in talking with Akeem Smith. Akeem Smith is a young man, still in his late 20s, but is an individual who is currently in the middle of church planting. A lot of times guys will call me and be like, hey, I want to talk about church planting. And I'll say, well, I can talk to you about it. What happened 15 years ago?
Sure.
Like there's a lot that is updated, that's changed. And so what would it be like to book an hour of time with an individual who's like just a year out from where you're at, mm-hmm. just 2 years out from where you're at? So our goal is to develop a kind of a menu mm-hmm. to where somebody could go on and say, you know, the first Monday of the month, I want mentorship on my family's relationship. So mm-hmm. I'm going to book an hour of Dave Tice's time.
Right.
And the second Monday of the month, I want to focus on breaking growth barriers.
Right.
So I'm going to contact I'm going to contact Josh Ermler and ask for an hour of his time and whatever it might be. So you might actually have three different mentors that you meet with once a month and you're just booking that. That's the idea. Now we're going to launch with 30 mentors, but our goal obviously is to get that up to 50 mentors and then 100 mentors, and that we can provide great mentorship opportunities for thousands of ministry leaders around the world.
Now, like, is it going to be like a recommended profile? So like, let's say I'm like in my mid-20s, right? Church planning in a unique area. Like, is there a recommendation of like, hey, this might be a good person for you?
Yeah, that'll be amazing years from now when when our ability will be to take advantage of the technology that's actually there. So it won't be as intuitive as Netflix at this point, simply because...
I was hoping you that personal curation... from Josh Tice.
Yeah, we've been watching what you've been shopping for on Amazon.
Got it.
And we'll be like, based on your previous purchases, we think that Tommy Thompson will be the perfect mentor for you.
Let's realign. I love that. That's good.
So what will happen is at first there'll be 30 to choose from, and you'll skim through and you're going to see, okay, those guys are booked up this month, but here are these other ones that aren't. I'm very excited about the female mentors that, like I said, people like my sister Charity Berkey, my wife Heather Tice, Jenny Lohman, Alana Brown, Kylie Suttle. There are many great women out there, and this is one of our deep concerns, is that the women that are leading in our congregations and that are leading in our homes are actually having the opportunity of finding mentorship the way they ought. This is a big burden for us, huge. And the reason is I honestly think men have more opportunity at finding good mentors than women do. I think we have more opportunity of going to retreats and conferences and things like Idea Days. And our wives are often with the children and kind of get discouraged. And I'll tell you this, when my wife is discouraged, I'm discouraged. When my wife is wanting to quit, I'm really wanting to quit. And I think one of the great aspects, I wasn't planning on talking about this, but one of the great aspects of what I hope Idea Mentoring will do will provide the emotional and spiritual health that is necessary for the women that are leading within our churches so they can genuinely connect with other women that are just 5, 10, 15, 20 years down the road. They can say, keep doing it. This is how to love your husband. This is how to love your children. This is how to lead in ministry. This is how to do those events. This is how to teach the word. To do those things would be huge. And I think keep the doors of churches open.
So I think we've covered a lot of the aspects of mentorship, and especially what we now are offering to help this need. Where can they go if our listeners want to find out more about this opportunity?
Well, for that first venue, which is, like I said, hourly online mentorship and coaching, you can go to ideanetwork.church under mentoring, and you can click right now. And well, actually not now when this comes out, but by March 1st, you'll be able to click and secure any one of those individuals you want. There are actually two other levels, which I haven't announced anywhere else, but I think I'll hint at right now. The second level of mentorship is called 2 to 3 day mentoring, where there will be a menu of 30 different mentors that you can contact for hourly mentoring. There will also be a menu soon enough released that will have 10 to 12 individuals you can actually bring out to your location for 2 to 3 days. Now, this would be very similar to the traditional bringing somebody out to preach at your church. You can have them come out and teach your team. You can have them teach your deacons. You can have them teach at your church. And you basically have them for about a 48-hour period to really strategically discuss some things that need to take place for your church or for your life and ministry. You can book them right through the Idea Network. You can book, you take care of their travel. You take care of their honorarium and all of that. All of that will be on the website. But that's our second tier. So you can go beyond and say, I really need some structured help right now. And that's a great thing. So maybe you're going through a major issue and you really need somebody like Dave Tice to come in and say, hey, I'm going to be there for you. I'm going to help you through this. Let's talk through this. I'm going to preach to your church about family leadership for a while, but I'm also going to, in our off time, really walk you through these issues. It's fantastic. That's our second tier. You'll hear more about that to come. The third tier is something we're calling our mastermind retreat. This we're very excited about. It's the very first private retreat that Idea Network has ever offered. And it's taking place this summer, and it'll be with Josh Ermler and I in the mountains of Colorado. We're only opening it up to 12 individuals. This is the height of our Idea Network mentoring program. And the goal of this retreat is to get you away from your ministry for 2 nights, 3 days, give you a leather-bound notebook that is empty, and ask you one question. What is the one major area of your life or ministry that needs changing over the next 6 months? One. That's it. Just one. Not just a bunch of plethora of ideas from a round table. It's what's the one thing? Maybe for you, the one thing is we have to upend our entire constitution and write a new one. That's a huge thing to undertake by yourself. Mm-hmm. Maybe your one thing is we really have to transition to music. Maybe your one thing is we really have to break this growth barrier. Mm-hmm. Maybe your one thing is I really have to reconnect to my wife and I need a game plan to do this. Mm-hmm. Maybe the one thing is whatever it is. There's a billion one things. We don't know what the one thing is. What we want to do is get away with you and Josh Schirmler, myself, and about 10 to 12 guys in a private place. And then help you develop a step-by-step, 4-month action plan to accomplish exactly your goal. That's the big idea. It's called the Mastermind Retreat. And in that 48-hour period, there are 2 nights, 3 days, we walk you through an action step plan that we help write, and that you go home with that book. And then what we do is we follow up every 2 weeks with a coaching session asking you, did you do everything you were supposed to do in that 2-week span that you were supposed to do since the last time we met? And we will literally walk you through over 4 months what that looks like. Now, that's a relatively expensive retreat to be involved with because of the amount of time, energy, and focus that's going to take. But it is something that I think is worthwhile to those who are willing to take that step. We have done similar things here at Southern Hills when it comes to consultations and coaching. And we want to provide something very similar, some hands-on consultation and coaching through the Idea Network. And so if you're interested in that, you won't find a website you can follow up on. You won't be able to register, you know, at this number. Really, the way to do that is private message myself or private message Josh Schirmler and say, hey, when is that? Mm-hmm. I want to come. And I think this is releasing in January. We're recording this. I know we're not supposed to say this, but we're recording this in October. And already there's, we haven't even talked about this. Just it's gotten out. We already have 3 or 4 people that are already like in those spots. Mm. So if you want to be involved with that, do PM us and let us know. We think in the years to come, we will not only host one of these, we think we'll host multiples. Mm-hmm. And we may even, we may even expand it to other venues, not just senior pastors, executive pastors. Here's one for youth pastors. Here's one for other ministry leaders. And I'll tell you why behind this. The why behind this, more than anything, is that we are loving the relationships that are built mm-hmm. in these idea days and idea nights, but we are starting to crave real change. And we've noticed that in our lives, real change begins to happen when you have real involvement. Mm-hmm. And we want to dedicate ourselves over the years to come to really digging deep with some people and saying, okay, we expect major change to happen in the next 6 months, and we're going to stand with you the entire way. And when things go great, we'll celebrate. When things go wrong, we'll cry with you, but we're going to keep persevering. And from that, I think we're excited to see some genuine, true, big changes take place and growth take place in churches that are connected to Idea Network.
Those are some really exciting opportunities for sure. I hope our audience can get a lot out of it. And ultimately, at the end of the day, it's about the glory for God. So,
yeah, man, all we want to do is help guys and ladies in our churches truly be able to step beyond the barriers they've seen. And I think in doing that, you're right, God will receive the glory and more people will know about Christ. And there's more going to be more intentionality about helping people take the next steps that are necessary. The ideas that they've received either through our podcasts and blogs and idea days, idea nights are actually going to be helped implemented through the Idea Mentoring Program.
Thanks so much for listening to today's Idea Talks. If you would like to reach out to us, drop us an email at joshtice@ideanetwork.church. If you benefited from this podcast, we ask that you take a moment to show your support by subscribing, rating, and reviewing the podcast on iTunes. Thanks again for joining us, and we will see you right here again at the Idea Talks podcast.